Thank you, councillors. Councillor Golay, could I ask you just to... oh, no. Peter Best has got that for us. Thank you. Well, it's 9:30. And we've got a quorum. So off we go, if I can find my running sheet. Here we go. All right. I'd like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet. I would also like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present here today. I'll just go through the public conduct at meetings. All members of the public present at the meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any other person present. Be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. May I have a mover and seconder, please, that a leave of absence be granted for Mayor Karen Williams, who is currently attending the 2017 Asia Pacific Summit and the Lord Mayor's Business Mission. Moved, Councillor Gleeson, seconded, Councillor Mitchell. All in favour? Unanimous, with Councillor Bishop and Councillor Elliott not in the room. And now, one of our favourites, Pastor Glenn, will lead us in a devotional segment. Thank you.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning,
Pastor Glenn. It's great to be here again after such a long time. You don't mind if I sit?
No, they all do.
Yeah? Because I've been using my knees too much. I just want to read a verse of scripture from Colossians. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand. Mind the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, your life has been hidden in Christ, in God." I just want to share some of my testimony. I'm 81, and I think I've learned a few things over the years, and I'll just share it with you. Number one is that every day I celebrate the presence of God. I celebrate the fact that this is the day that the Lord has made. We'll be glad and rejoice in it. In other words, when I get out of bed and I stand up vertical and not horizontal, I think it's good. And then secondly, making right choices. And that's what we need to do every day. Choose to help people. Choose to go God's way. Choose to make a difference. And that's what God wants us to do in this day and age, no matter who we are, to make a difference. And thirdly, Christ is the centre of my life. And where there's a challenge, there's always a solution, an answer. And God has those answers. And he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you and praise you, bless you. We thank you, my God, for Wendy today taking the chair. We want to ask you to bless her abundantly with wisdom, with understanding, with goodness, with insight for the glory of God. Touch her mightily, Lord Jesus, and each counsellor, we pray that each one will be blessed indeed of you. Father, the things that they have to discuss today, we pray your blessing upon it. We pray your life into it. We pray your light and the answers that these people need for this wonderful area of ours. We ask your blessing now upon everything that is said and done here today, and we say thank you for it, Lord, because you are God and there's none beside you. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you for Wendy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
We're grateful for what you've said. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's all right. I'll turn that off. Thank you. We move on to recognition of achievements, which we haven't got today. Receipt and confirmation of the minutes. Can I have a mover and seconder, please, that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 23rd of August be confirmed? Moved, Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Bishop. Any comments on correctness of the minutes? Yes, Councillor Hughes.
Thanking the team and the ladies. Yes, the system's working internally. We've jumped on one tiny little thing, which was so minor. It was great that the girls are working well together. So all was changed before it went up online. Thank you.
Thank you. Put the motion. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to number 6, matters outstanding for minutes of the previous general meeting. I've been told there are none. And now we'll move into public participation. And we've been told of a school and also public participation today. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please, that the meeting adjourn for a further 15-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address council on matters of public interest related to local government. Moved, Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Bishop. All in favour? Thank you. Now, before I invite the first speaker up, I have to read this one. You may have noticed the signage in the chambers regarding public participation at meetings. It is Council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. This information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's Administration Building and published on Council's website. I also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous and make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. Give priority to members of the public who have made written application to the CEO to address the meeting. Determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers, and I can withdraw the approval to address council before that time period has elapsed, and no debate or discussion will be entered into at this time. I'd also like to advise of our hearing loop. If any speakers who are hearing impaired, please wait in your seat and we will bring the microphone to you, and please stand while speaking if you're able to. And our first speaker today is Mr. Murray. If you'd like to come forward, please, sir. Just over here to Alan, the officer, will have the microphone for you, sir. Please state your name and suburb or organisation you represent, and then begin when ready. Thank you.
Mr. Murray, Alan Douglas, 8 Devon Road, Alexander Hills, unfortunately. My subject covers animal control and the lack of any due respect to getting that being a member of the public. I came here once. I've been to council 74 times. I've got 20 photos, 20 separate occasions in which to prove exactly what I stated 5 years ago. The question has to be brought up that if it takes a 5-year period to resolve this matter, it doesn't show a great deal of efficiency or courtesy towards the public. Secondly, why was I banned from making further complaints when I've got photographic proof of what I'm complaining about here and now, and I had it then? That's another question that bears answering. We can go around this 100 different ways. The best way of explaining this is council fell short of the mark from word one and have done nothing else but fall short of the mark ever since. They hope that by throwing garbage and rhetoric at you that you're going to walk away from the problem. I didn't then and I won't now. That's why it ended up in the ombudsman's hand. And if it takes going further than that, it'll go further than that. And yet, I'm the one that sticks the placards up on all the poles. I'm that guy. And when you have your strawberry festival, I'll go to that and I'll do the same damn thing I did last time. I will get what is considered to be justice, and I will prove what I set out to prove. And I won't have to exert a whole lot of energy doing it. Why would you hand out a broken cat trap to begin with? Why would you not notify a member of the public that if a cat's been caught in a cat trap once, it's not likely to get caught in it twice? Why would you give them a cat trap then? Why is it that the restrictions all apply to a dog and none to a cat? Why is it that I have to put up with nonsense, but I have to pay a registration for my dog because it's easier than a cat to catch? I could resolve the problem with a cat in a heartbeat. Let the dog off the lead. Cat problem gone. Except I don't train my dog to do such sort of idiocy. The same as I have the respect enough for my neighbours to control my dog, and they should have the respect enough to do the same for me. But obviously, if council's going to condone it, pretty soon you're going to have nobody respecting any damn thing. I'd like to know when this little party game stops and somebody applies common sense to it.
No debate is entered into in this forum, Mr. Murray. You can make an appointment with officers if you'd like to get the answers at that time.
I've talked to a number of them, and the only thing that I can come up with is that they, from word one, cannot justify 1 second of their pay. Not 1 second of it, from what I've gathered.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Murray. You've made your point today, and like I said, we'll offer you a meeting with officers if you wish. Now, I know a school has, the school is outside. Could you ask them to come in, please, for their presentation? Thank you. Would the students from Redlands College like to come forward, please?
Good morning, Deputy Mayor, councillors and other representatives.
Just before you begin, when you're speaking in chambers, you have to just state your name and where you're from. So today you would be like example Wendy Boglari, student from Redlands College. Thank you.
My name is Eve Colley, Megan Schmidt, Daniel Levin and Brianna Stem, and we are from Redlands College in Wellington Point. Good morning, Deputy Mayor, councillors and other representatives. We are here today to share our proposal with you. Our proposal is that we put more parking at the Birkdale train station in the area where the kindergarten used to be. We understand that the local council has no control over this issue, but we implore you to continue to campaign the problem to the state parliament.
As of now, there are 118 car parks at the train station, not including street parking. This number, however, is dwarfed by the number of people who use the train in Birkdale, which is a startling 345 people in the most recent census in 2016. The majority of these people are then forced to park on the nearby streets, which causes bottlenecks and safety issues. The problem is only going to get worse because of infilling. Many of the lower density residential blocks are being transformed into medium density to fulfill the demand for housing. This would not be a problem, except the train station parking in Birkdale hasn't changed in at least a decade. What makes matters worse is as our Redlands area begins to boom, there doesn't seem to be any transport infrastructure being considered. As we are all very aware of, Ricketts Road is already a city planner's worst nightmare. Not to mention that in the RSEQ's Most Unroadworthy Roads 2016, Ricketts Road came in at number 5 in the entirety of Queensland. People, this is not good, especially considering that it is one of the only two main roads that connect Redlands to Brisbane. So the council needs to be considering how to solve our transport issues. We could be a part of the solution. This vacant block of land, which at the moment is surrounded by high barbed wire fences, could be repurposed into useful car spaces and be transformed into a more effective koala corridor. As you can see from our diagram here, we have maintained the tree line at the front and the back. This is not only beneficial to the koalas, but it also creates a natural, cooler environment. We've also placed koala tunnels underneath the entries and exits to ensure safety for the wildlife.
So in conclusion, we would encourage the council to continue to campaign the problem to the state parliament. Redlands needs more transport infrastructure and this car park is just one part of the solution. One step in the right direction. One step to link, strengthen the chain. We like cicadas. We make a lot of noise. We are small, but we make a lot of noise. Please hear our petition and represent our voice. We would also love to hear how we can give voice to this issue. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And there's another group if you'd like to introduce yourselves and then commence when ready. Thank you. The first group could sit down if they would like in the gallery. Thank you, Mike.
I am Donna Lindo. This is Marina Thayer. This is Tamika Shirama and this is Hayley Winters. We're from Redlands College. Good morning, Deputy Mayor, councillors and other representatives. We're greatly honoured to present our idea to you.
It is unsafe for school students to be crossing Anson Road before and after school, because there is currently no safe area for the students to cross near Redlands College. The road being filled with cars puts the students crossing the road in a position of danger. Anson Road is crossed by students from both Redlands College and Wellington Point State High School on their way to and from school. These students tend to cross Anson Road close to the cricket oval and car park, as this is the main connection point with destinations such as the train station and pathways located around school. I'd like to see the problem being fixed by adding a zebra crossing on Anson Road near the current drop-off zone and cricket oval.
To put the zebra crossing before the exit of the main car park is an option. We have thought too thoroughly and think it is an exceptional place to put it. We think it because it will be convenient for the other people exiting and entering the main car park. We understand that it is not a local government issue as it is a school road. However, we would greatly appreciate if the council could continue to discuss this issue with the state government to help ensure the safety of students from both these schools. And we would love to hear other steps we could take to help them make the issue more of a priority of the state government.
This is our team's visual aid. We want to put a zebra crossing on Anson Road, shown on the maps. Did you know 4,440...
Would you like to move towards the actual microphone, because it is being videoed, so you can go home and watch this tonight. We want to make sure you're heard.
This is our team's visual aid. We want to put the zebra crossing on Anson Road, shown in these maps. Did you know 4,440 child pedestrians aged 0 to 14 years were seriously injured in an 8-year period between 2002 and 2010 in a range of motor vehicle accident types, including low-speed vehicle runovers?
And we've got another group. If you just say the name, please, and that you're representing the college today and doing a fine job, I might add.
Good morning. I'm Chelsea Coker, and this is Ella Coleman and Shannon Dean, and we're from Redlands College, Wellington Point. Good morning, Deputy Mayor, councillors and other representatives. We are going to tell you why having street art is the best way to improve the arts culture of Redlands City. We understand that this idea is being considered and may be put into place in this area, but we would just like to encourage this further and give examples of how we believe this idea would improve our society. Our project will be placed in the Wellington Point Village Green. It's in an open area near many shops and restaurants, and we are also considering the Ray White Wall just to the side of this area as an alternative. Our plan is to have a plain white wall built that anyone in the community can come and paint on. This wall will fill up over time and later become a gorgeous piece of culture that has everyone's own unique touch on. This wall will be the community's own way of expressing themselves. A wall can fill up any empty space and transform it into something amazing. This is a way for everyone and anyone to express their any emotion.
The purpose of our idea is to bring the arts culture into Wellington Point. We have decided to bring culture in with street art. Our goal is to bring the community closer to each other and deepen everyone's knowledge in culture. Having a wall full of captivating and unique art would be inspiring. It'll bring smiles to everyone's face. Each painting will bring something different to the table, unlike other ideas to improve culture, such as festivals and performances. Street art requires very little supplies, a wall and some paint. This idea will benefit the community because this wall will bring everyone together to watch and to do the art. Our idea fits with the Redlands City Plan under the heading Economic Development. This is because it talks about having settings for leisure and entertainment activities. I believe our wall will provide much entertainment. This wall will create many hours of inspiring and fun work. More relative reasons include how it talks about having hubs of community services and facilities. I know this will be used by the community because it will be a facility that anyone and anyone can use and enjoy.
Well done.
It is important to build a wall because it will completely change Wellington Point. Firstly, it will encourage 20 to 39-year-olds to be a more active part of the community. This is because these ages are attracted to social and community-based spaces, such as art projects. Adam Cooper, Cultural Strategy Officer for the Mayor of London, thinks graffiti is a positive force in its own right. He says graffiti adds social communal value to the space. Also, this will prevent graffiti on being on walls and other buildings. This gives graffiti artists a dedicated space to paint. Like Adelaide's previous Lord Mayor, Stephen Yarwood, said, art isn't just for galleries. Cities are the best art galleries you could possibly have. We all want to be able to paint the city, so why not start today? Put street art into practice now. Thank you.
Well done.
Good job, guys. Well done.
Yep. Just so the councillors know, when planners actually come from council to Redlands College, and the standard their assignments and the ideas they come up with, not just for their local Wellington Point area, but across the whole city, they come up with amazing ideas. And the students that come from Wynnum even come up with ideas from Wynnum. So they're just amazing with what they've with what they've done. So congratulations. Can I have a mover and seconder?
Just wondering, normally we don't reply to comments, but I'm just wondering, the students have made a big effort to come in here, whether it's worth suspending the meeting for 15 minutes just to reply to a couple of those items.
It's not usual practice, Councillor Gleeson.
That's right, Chair, but we can suspend the meeting for 15 minutes to do it if you choose.
Yeah, we haven't got planners or anything in the room to talk to those items at the moment. Yeah. So, I mean, we go out and visit them regularly and talk. It's an ongoing, yeah, it is. It's an ongoing relationship with them. So can I have a mover and seconder, please, to resume the meeting proceedings?
It wouldn't
hurt. No. Have I got a mover and seconder, please, to resume meeting proceedings? Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Tolte. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. I haven't heard of any petitions or presentations. No one's got one? No. So we'll go to the order of business. I haven't been told of any motion to alter the order of business? Nope. Okay, so at this time I will, item number 10, remind councillors of material personal interest and conflict of interest. Councillors are reminded of their responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. A summary of the responsibilities are included in the agenda. Item 11, reports to council. Community and customer service, can I have a mover and seconder for 11.1.1, please? Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte? Oh, move it. Yep, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I bring councillors' attention to item 11.1.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
Was there any further discussion? Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Deputy Mayor and Chair. I just want to, I know it's an officer delegated item, but I just want to alert the residents and the community in relation to the operational works at 5 to 9 Victor Street in Birkdale, where there's a code assessable development going ahead with 22 units. That's all going through as it is allowed under our planning scheme. I just want to let residents who are not otherwise aware know that that is progressing to operational work stage. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Councillor Tolte, would you like to put the motion?
It's all in the report, Madam Chair.
Okay, all in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Item 11.1.2, Planning and Environment Court. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Tolte. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to move item 11.1.2, Planning Environment Court matters list, current as at 24th of August, which is an update from officers about outstanding appeals that are going through the process of review. I'd just like to move that motion.
Was there any for or against or further discussion? No. Put the motion.
I'd just like to acknowledge the officers' ongoing oversight on those matters that are with the Planning Environment Court, and thank them for their ongoing updates, which we greatly appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll put the motion. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. We'll move on to item 11.1.3, Education and Training. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Tolte, a seconder. Councillor Hughes. Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move item 11.1.3, Education and Training Industry Sector Strategy and Action Plan, and put forward the motion as recommended by the officers.
Is there... What are we going to first, for or against? For. Is there a speaker for or against the motion? For the motion? Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I will speak for the motion. Pardon me. We know that a lot of effort and work has gone into this report by the consultants. We note that the report was dated May 2017, and some may question why that is just coming to us now. There has been, since May, and the council has received this report, we have workshopped this, we have, the councillors have put some councillors and council staff have put some for planning into these reports and recommendations already, but there needs to be some ongoing work, hence the motion that this will come back to us in 3 months with consideration to the finance that will be included and extra staffing and resources that may be included. So this is a preliminary acceptance of the report with more work to follow. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, look, I saw the report and, you know, we've banged on about this university since Adam was a boy, and it's on page 8 of the report and the consultant's report. It really puts it to bed, you know. The Redland City is only a very small tertiary present, no university campus. Currently most Redland students go to Griffith, QUT, UQ. Redland City's low population does mean the threshold to attract a full major university campus. For this, a population of 500,000 consistently mooted. A report years and years ago said you needed between 500 and 800,000 people. Changing technology and workforce, and this is the number one thing. Workforce structure led to accelerating disruption in education training, yada, yada, yada. Satellite campuses, industry-based campuses, online campuses, local universities, collaborative and highly competitive. Why would you want to be? We don't have to lead the way in this. We do not have to lead the way in this at all. If one moves into the area, all others know and may react. This is a tightly held sphere. You know, like, council should stick to its three R's, you know. We're going to go out and try and tell the the education sector how to suck eggs. I don't think so. The Alex Hills High School's leading, you know, they've got a leading edge, they've got an innovative hub at the school, you know. You don't have to. We're creating things that people are doing now, you know. Why would you need the burden of the councils on top of it? You know, I can't see. You know, schools are doing their thing now. It's quite well known. To, you know, I think we're flogging a dead horse. We really should stay out of it. It's going well. End of story.
Thank you. Speaker for the motion. You were speaking for Councillor Mitchell. Yes.
Yeah. Far from flogging a dead horse, I think, and this report just we're just being asked to receive the support, note the work to date, and importantly, move over the next 3 months to an action plan, including some timeframes and accountable parties and budget and resources. Even if we talk the university sector and perhaps we'll never get a university here in the old bricks and mortar style, but that's just one of five strategies that are written in the report, including growing international education, establishing a centre of excellence in education for the ageing, developing a health and education precinct, engaging the community in education and lifelong learning. And while council doesn't have to run these things, I think far from the time are we able now to sit back and just wait for other people to do it for us. If that was the case, then we would be leading the world in all things. I think there is a role for council to play, and not necessarily building universities or the bricks and mortar part. It might be about bringing people together, facilitating partnerships. So I think it's actually quite an important bit of work we're moving forward. And sitting on our hands and doing nothing, I think, is the wrong thing. So, yep, absolutely, council should only do what council should do, but I think we are in a brave new world where we need to be a part of the action and putting Redlands forward and making our mark on the world, at least making people be aware of our presence and bringing industry, private investment, other levels of government together. So, absolutely, would think that we should note the report and look forward to, in 3 months' time, some action plans. So, thank you.
Thank you. A speaker against? Then I'll go to comments once I've finished the formal. Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I acknowledge that there's some incredible work that has gone into both this report and through the Economic Development Advisory Board, some of the consideration and discussion relating to what's informed it. The report has been presented to councillors, and that report has been amended since some of those discussions and feedback have been given to officers. So I appreciate the iteration and discussion and collaboration with us. I didn't support in the original outset either the Economic Development Advisory Board or the Economic Development Strategies, and these are some of those particular strategies, and partly because, to my mind, there's a slight separation that, as an elected representative, I would like to see more of a clear understanding of our council's role in facilitating and being involved with the discussions with the sector itself. I appreciate that a lot of that work has been done. To my mind, that is the work that's critical. And if we're writing a sector report from Redland City Council's perspective, it's the sector who need to take ownership of it. That's the element of the report that I believe is not reflected in this particular terminology. And I know that there's good due diligence from officers to go forward and progress that. I have my own views about this particular approach, which there's some great opportunities that can come, and I understand other officers, councillors supporting it. It doesn't have my full support, but anything that can help our sector, which is an incredibly strong educational sector in Redland City, that we can do to help the local people and local enterprises that are in the space to take ownership of a sectoral report, I think needs to be led by them, and I'm all ears for those people, and however council can support that, happy to support that. But at this stage, this report doesn't quite cut it for me.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Is there a speaker for the motion? Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Chair. What a great opportunity, and who knows what the opportunity is. If we say no to it, we lose all opportunity. What a silly way to look forward to the future. Both these sectors are huge industries in the Redlands as far as employment goes, and what a great opportunity if this comes up. The future might provide for the students in the Redlands like the one sitting in the gallery today. It'd be a terrible shame to vote against this.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against? I'll open up to comments then, Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Chair. I read this report with two hats on. The first one, I read it with a position of saying, right, I'm going to look for reasons why not to support it, and I found plenty of reasons why I shouldn't. And then I read it again, and I thought of reasons to support it, and again, there's reasons to support it. But for me, it comes back on something rather more personal and close to home. I've got my youngest daughter who's going to be completing university in 3 weeks. Thank goodness. She has to travel to South Brisbane to Griffith University. And I'll tell you, from Redland Bay, it is almost impossible for students to travel that distance and be able to be on the same footing to compete with other students. The travel times are enormous. We tried doing public transport, coming out to Cleveland and getting the train. You know, you can spend 3-4 hours or more just travelling, and some of the times that just don't suit for the kids to get back. For a couple of years, I rented a unit up there, $22,000 a year in rent. We shouldn't be having these costs on parents. So I've got no choice. She drives now, backwards and forwards. But with the times that some of the lectures finish, she might not be home till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. So for me, our role is to lobby on behalf of our residents. And sure, some of these things we might not achieve, but we've really got to try. And at the end of the day, we need to provide more educational choices for the students in our city. And that might not be a university which requires a population of 500,000. It might be something much smaller, something different, something gives an option. So I think our role is sometimes not really black and white, but grey. And this grey area for me is that we should be embracing this and try and get some achievements, some outcomes. And a lot of the time it's easier to say no rather than yes. And I think we should say yes to this, give it a try, and hopefully something will come out at the end of it.
Councillor Golley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I recall the workshops that we had where it was made very clear that the population of the Redlands would need to increase to 500,000. We've currently got 150,000. We don't have the infrastructure needs now to support 150,000, let alone 500,000. There's more and more degrees coming online every day. I'm going to support this report, but I'd also sort of like to put in the context that we have an educational facility at TAFE at Alex Hills. In my opinion, it could be upgraded to increase more bachelor degrees so that students don't have to travel out of the area. There's enough land on that site to possibly build student accommodation and have educational programs run for international students on that site. I don't think we need to go and build another bricks and mortar site. I think we've got enough avenues here to improve and to allow for bachelor of educations to come through that avenue. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Gleeson, did you forget to say something?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, just comment. Look, I agree with all the figures, 500,000 population. I mean, the government's not going to build a university, a full-blown university out here, and a full-blown commercial uni is not going to come out here with our population. But these things could offer unknown opportunities. I mean, we might see satellite campuses being born in the Redlands that might not be full-blown university operating every degree available out there, but could take care of, you know, veterinary degrees or certain areas. It'd be an absolute shame to miss out on any potential opportunity down the track.
Councillor Elliott and then Councillor Hughes now have comments.
Thanks, Chair. The thing is, if it was needed at the moment, and I relate to Councillor Edwards' daughter travelling to university, and I said, go back to the 70s when I did my electrical apprenticeship. I left Wynnum North, went on the train to work into town, worked all day, caught a train to Park Road, changed trains, went to Yeronga Tech, got off, walked up, got at 6 o'clock, finished at 9, walked down in the dark to the train, back to Park Road, stood when Bogger Road was active, got the train home, and got home at 10 o'clock. That's what you did in the old days and things like that. Today... Oh, well, no. We'll have a university in every corner, I guarantee, within 10 years. It's about if the sector if there was the potential there and people travel. My own son left Capalaba. Used to drive my ute down to Capalaba, parked there, got a bus across to Nathan University, did a planning degree. You know, works at Gold Coast Council. You know, things like that. That's what people do. If the business was there, there would be a satellite campus here. End of story. That's why you see it out in Springfield and places like that. That's the Western Corridor where things go. There's nothing stubborn. I'm not against education. I've got an associate to plan electrical engineering myself. I did my correspondence course. And there was a university at Rockhampton. Because of work shift work, I couldn't go to it. So I did my correspondence. That was done when I was 32, half the age I am now. So, but I think, you know, we get set up on these rock hard things, fine. Best thing councils can do is have their planning in place properly for anything that comes along. But the sector's well ahead of this council, always will be. They know what they're doing, and that's the best way we can handle it, is to give that. But setting up hubs, I saw Steve Baxter the other day, the Shark Tank. I don't even watch it, but I saw a thing about his River City Labs on TV. They get innovative things there to, do we reinvent the wheel? They're the sort of things I'd be sending people to. End of story. Thank you.
Councillor Hughes and Councillor Bishop has got... And then Councillor Golley, and I think everyone's had two goes then, so we might wrap it up after that one. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I hear the conversation regarding universities, and we all have had our to and fro on that. This is the Economic Development, Education and Training Industry Sector Report. It's not about a university. It's about a whole range of different things. We've mentioned that there's five items here that we're looking at. It's Council's role to support and be proactive in bringing different aspects of the community together. As a host mum of 66 international students, the value to our city with our international students cannot be counted. It is an enormous benefit to us. Just recently here at Council, we hosted a group of students that left here on their way to, and we taught them, as we mentioned, Strati, and they were going home absolutely excited and delighted to share about our city. This is more than just talk of a university. There's a whole lot more, and I support it. Thank you.
I had Councillor Bishop and then Councillor Golly. That's it.
Thank you very much, and I acknowledge the words of the other councillors and, as I said before, the work in the report. I believe that in terms of council's role, we are a facilitator in the space of education, and I believe that this work through the Economic Development Advisory Board has and the consultants has identified some really important strengths and outstanding opportunities in the area. It's now up to the sector to take it forward. I don't believe it's council's role to create a strategy and action plan. I think that needs to be the sector's strategy and action plan. I think the work's here. I think the sector can actually have a look at it. We've got a very strong sector in the Redlands, and I think it is absolutely correct that Councillor Hughes has said our role is to be supportive and proactive. I think the proactive thing is to have prepared a report, now say to the sector, is this what you want? Go ahead. How can we help facilitate? And I think that's the work done.
Councillor Golay, you had a comment?
Yes. Is it going on? Yep, excellent. Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, I just want to reiterate again that we already have a TAFE college here that's underutilised. It could be improved as the bricks and mortar style of education to increase Bachelor of Education. I don't really aspire to any particular political party at this stage, but I don't think any state government is prepared to invest without us increasing our population here to 500,000. Universities are a business, and they have done their sector research to see what fits. I'm prepared to support this report, but I think we need to upgrade what we have in place already and support that as a momentum moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Just before I'm just going to read a text message I received earlier this morning before I pass back to Councillor Tolte. From sitting up here and listening, everybody's actually saying the same thing, that we have now got a report to do with economic development education that we want our sector, are you listening, Redlands College? We want our sector to pick up and tell us how we can help you. We want to enhance the education facility with and training within Redlands, and it's very transparent. The report's now out there. How can we help you? We have got fantastic educational facilities within Redlands. So how can we help you? I received a text message from the Mayor earlier today. Hey, Wendy, just to catch up. I met with the President and Vice President of the new district in Quenjiangdao. The new district is called Bihehei. We'll give that one a miss. And they are focused on tourism, health, wellness and aged care. They are very keen to pursue opportunities with our city, particularly in educating and skilling a workforce for health and aged care. Today, I am meeting with the Mayor to discuss further opportunities for our city, and that's how we help you. This lets not only our sector in Redlands know that we're here to help, but it also gives us the opportunity, like our Mayor, to go over there and say, look, our educational facilities are here ready for you, as well as our own youth, and that's how we help facilitate and enhance. So I just wanted to share that email to say, well, while we're debating this, the Mayor's out there helping our education facilities. So over to you, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I completely concur with everything that Councillor Hughes has just said, and Councillor Gleeson and those supporting. Council has had this come backwards and forwards. It is a report that follows other motions of council. So you'll see in the report that council in July 2016 resolved to endorse the development of action plans in healthcare and social assistance and education and training. So we have already authorised this. This is coming back to us now for the next stage. As Councillor Hughes noted, that there have been councillor workshops with the Redland City Economic Development Advisory Board, and substantive input into the action plan. Those who are not supportive of it have noted that they don't think we should be telling people how to facilitate these activities in the community, but it could be that it's as simple as was noted, that we get out of the way, that we make sure that our planning schemes allow people to make application in a streamlined way. We've had success in this sphere You can say, you know, we've got an active sphere in education, and we do. We've got fantastic schools. But when I went to school from Redland City, I travelled out of the city to Wynnum for school. So that has grown and come into play over the last 20 to 30 years. The things that we have, things like the MARTA training facility at Redlands Hospital, Midwifery School, the ITC training sector school, these things all came into play at the same time as people were making the same comments that we've heard here today, that we won't have a university, that we can't have a university because we don't have 500,000 people. This is not new news. We've been hearing this for 10 years. But all of these things have come about because council has been actively searching out those opportunities. And I can't see why we wouldn't be out there putting our best foot forward. We've got an opportunity, for example, we've got issues going on with Stradbroke Island and its direction forward. We've got a fantastic research facility there through the University of Queensland. There are opportunities that we can't know, and we need to be able to make sure that those people who do know that we're here to help and facilitate. We need to put Redland's best foot forward, and we need to show them what we have to offer. To give you an example, I was recently talking to someone who owns a private training college with five different college locations, the major one being in West End. In West End at the moment, the population growth, the traffic congestion, the parking, the pricing is actually pricing that business out of where they currently are now. And they are interested in looking at coming to the end of the train line to see whether they can put their school in Cleveland. And this will help provide them a framework to do that. So I'm very interested to find out where we can go with this, and I wholeheartedly support it, and I ask other councillors to support it also.
So Councillor Toldy's put the motion. All in favour? And those against? So there's a division. All in favour? Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golle, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari, those against, Councillor Bishop and Councillor Elliott. Thank you. And now we move on to its sister, 11.1.4, Healthcare and Social Assistance Industry Sector Strategy and Action Plan. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Tolte and a seconder, Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Tolte. Thank you, Redlands College, for attending today. Thank you, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I call Councillor's attention to item 11.1.4, Healthcare and Social Assistance Industry Sector Strategy and Action Plan, which, as the Chair has mentioned, is a sister report to the one that we've just discussed, and put forward the recommendation as proposed by officers.
Thank you. Is there a councillor for the motion? Oh, is there a councillor against the motion? Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Deputy Chair. Chair. Once again, this is a planning issue. We're wandering into things we know nothing about, and we, as it says on page 10 of the report, Strategy 4, develop a health and education precinct on the site defined on the Redland City Council City Plan. So it's all that's the extent we do, and I think Councillor Talty alluded to the process we do for applications, things like that. Don't have a problem with it. You know, good planning, and I've seen a couple of town plans since 1997. Good planning gives you the outcomes you want in a sector. And we committed, I think, $25,000 to a $50,000 health strategy. I can't remember where that went, but years ago. And but this clearly said, you know, to me, that's the extent council should be going to. Provide the opportunity. Actually, in the last 2 weeks, I had a businessman ring me in the city about a group of doctors at the MARTA who are struggling to have places to go. You know, there's something going on in that system, but they need opportunities to have offices and things like that. The best thing this council can do is give them that opportunity. And that's what you do. That's what you do as a council. You don't need to be in. They're the professionals. We're the people that provide the space to have the offices, the clinics and all those sorts of things. That's the extent. We've done that. We've done that. We know that. We don't need to go any further. We're sort of borrowing into this stuff. We don't need to go there. We'll spend money. We'll have all the nice action plans. I'll send it off to Bob Stitch and we'll have a utopia. If you'd watched the Defence White Paper a couple of weeks ago, that was the best thing I could. I thought it was council. It was great. And we borrow into things we shouldn't be going into. Do the town planning and stand back. You encourage business that way. We're not the be-all, end-all when it comes to this stuff. Good town planning is what we need to do for jobs in this city. End of story.
Speak for the motion, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott, and thank you, Deputy Mayor. This, again, it's a sister policy. We could rehash and all the things we've just said for our education regarding our health. This recommendation is that the General Manager of Community and Customer Services reports to Council within 3 months to outline delivery and implementation schedule for the healthcare and social assistance industry sector strategy and action plan. This is including timeframes, accountable parties and corresponding budget and resource considerations. Again, we are noting the report. We are looking as a council, how can we support this industry? We will come back with costings. At that stage, we will vote again on what we support. We don't know what the costings are going to be. We are looking at that. Some of these things can be very, very small that council can assist that group of doctors, have a meeting, come out, whatever it's going to take to support the community sector. We, again, have a report that's quite extensive, needs to be looked at and discerned with the points that we're going to be picking out and where we can help. I commend the report and I thank the officers for their works thus far.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Speaker against, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Councillor Hughes is quite right. We could rehash a lot of the things. Health is a very different thing to education, obviously. It's another great example of what Redlands is doing incredibly well in response to an ageing population. And there's some unique things about this part of the world that that people will respond to and address the health issues. It's up to the sector to do that. Council, up until quite recently, this most recent electoral term, had a focus around back to basics. And I do think it's important for us as a council, council representatives, to ask the... I very strongly support strategic planning and our overarching focus as to what this council is. After a period of back to basics, I ask us, is it appropriate for us to go down the path where we are developing a strategy and action plan for a state government sectoral development? Sure, we can facilitate the particular issues outstanding and the strong existing opportunities that are in the city, but we often talk about state government and federal government cost shifting to council. We're putting their arms out saying, Give us. And I agree with Councillor Elliott, who said that good town planning is where is what we need to do. He did go on to say that's the end of the story, and I disagree with that because I think that's not the end of the story. It's good town planning is very important. The other bit we need to do is listen to our community, listen to our sector. We know, and it's identified in this report, that low-paid workforce, which is common in the aged care and disability sectors, needs to be addressed. We know that there are shortfalls in our city in terms of accommodation options for the very people who would be essential for this workforce. That is an issue that we can address, but we're not addressing it. That is something that council should address.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
What's your point of order, Councillor Pleason?
Are we talking about accommodation where of people with the work.
So what's the actual point of order?
Whereabouts is that in this report?
Page one, fourth dot point from the bottom of that executive summary.
Well, maybe this report will address it.
Okay, so you withdraw your point of order? Yep, continue please, Councillor. Thank you. Continue please, Councillor Bishop.
Thanks for withdrawing the point of order, which was directly relating to the executive summary. I wish you had read the report so you'd know exactly what we're doing.
Point of order, Chair.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
What's the point of order? Point of order, Councillor Bishop. Councillor Bishop has just wrongly suggested I haven't read the report.
Okay. I think Councillor Bishop's already withdrawn it.
No, I haven't withdrawn it.
Sorry.
No. I suggested that. If he would like to say that he's read it, then he can justify why he didn't actually pick up on the point that I was referring to, which is directly related to the executive summary. I'll continue, but if you want to interrupt, just have a point of order that's relevant, please. If I can ask that.
Can I point out most of the audience in the chambers has left?
Councillor Gleeson, please. Are you happy for Councillor Bishop to continue?
Maybe you need to.
Well, I've got to deal with this one before I can deal with that one. Well, that's what I'm doing. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Councillor Gleeson, are you happy to let Councillor Bishop continue on this point now? Councillor Bishop, are you happy to withdraw your insinuation that Councillor Gleeson didn't read the report when we actually don't know?
I will withdraw it based acknowledging the fact that it was related to the fact that it's in the report clearly. It was an assumption on my part that the councillor may have not picked up on that particular element. How outrageous of me to suggest such. I will continue and withdraw the comment.
Thank you.
Good town planning can address that. That's what council should do. We should focus on being a council that looks after our community, that acknowledges this important sector, and we should say, here's a sector plan. Would you like to take that forward? If you've got issues, come back and talk to us about how we can support you. And I think it's time now that we've done our work and we should hand that over to the healthcare sector and say thank you very much. I hope this is your sectoral report, and if it is, let us know how we can support your action plans and strategies.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Is there a speaker for the motion? Councillor Golley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm going to support this report primarily because I believe we need to be leading the way in facilitating the actions and the momentum to look at this particular sector as a viable option for exactly the reasons that Councillor Elliott raised, which is where doctors need to be able to come and operate. We've had consecutive state governments who have made various promises to the Redlands and won't deliver, and probably won't deliver after this state election either. So we need to lead the way when it comes to infrastructure. We referred back to the population growth being or required to be 500,000 for a university. Well, despite that, with our 150,000 population presently, we are in dire need of those extra services. We have an ageing population, and it would be irresponsible of us not to explore this and come back with some sort of a report that reflects that growth area, which is health and well-being. So I'd just like to put it out there that I think this is a comprehensive step and report that we need to take to bring back some sort of facts and figures so we know exactly where we stand, how we can facilitate the movement of this, working in a joint effort with town planning and any sort of key stakeholders that are out there that wish to invest into the Redlands, into this sector. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Golley. Is there a speaker against the motion? I thought I saw a hand previously. Oh, right. Okay. No comments. Okay. I'll pass back to Councillor Tolte then. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as was noted at the beginning, this is a sister report to the previous one, and it comes out of the same motion that was approved by Council in July 2016 to endorse the development of action plans in healthcare and social assistance. Again, if we don't put ourselves out there and we don't explore the possibilities, then it's less likely that anything will happen. I agree with everything that Councillor Elliott said. We have to make sure that our planning scheme is on point, and we have to make sure that the items included in that do facilitate these kinds of healthcare sectors, but we also need to see if we can be more proactive in that space. We have an ageing population. We know that we need to be able to, again, through planning, support people living here who can support that ageing population, and we want healthcare workers to be able to live and work in this community and look after our ageing population. So there are a lot of aspects to this, as Councillor Hughes said, and I think certainly we should move forward to find out exactly what we can do, what the budgetary implications might be, and how we can get more information. So I wholeheartedly support it, and I ask other councillors to do so also.
Thank you. And with that, we'll take the vote. All in favour? Those against? Division? Those in favour? Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari, those against, Councillor Bishop and Councillor Elliott. Thank you. So now we'll move on to item 11.2.1, the August financial update. And can I have a mover for that one, please? Councillor Hughes, thank you. And a seconder, Councillor Bishop. And I've got a note here to ask Chief Financial Officer to present.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'd like to move 11.2.1, the August financial update. And we have received this as a late report, and we note that it is a point in time, as our CFO will update us without the normal facts and figures that we would normally and routinely have. And thank you, Deborah, if you would update us on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to the Councillor, thank you for the opportunity to talk to this item. Due to the fact that Council doesn't have a second general meeting in the month of September, there's a legislative requirement that we table something, at least on a monthly basis, with respect to the financials. So what the team has pulled together yesterday is a really high-level overview of the KPIs. So Council will note that 8 out of the 11 KPIs are anticipated to be met or exceeded, with 3 falling short of the targets for the month of August. We've also included a very high-level table there to try and give an insight at this early stage in the month of both the operating revenue, the expenditure, and then the operating surplus or deficit. So in summary, for the second period of the financial year, it's tracking as expected. Council's on track with operating revenue, slightly ahead in terms of spend for operating expenditure, but also a little bit behind on the operating surplus because the expenditure is higher. Cash balances remain strong in the order of $166 million. And happy to take any questions if needed.
Well, we'll just say informal. Is there a speaker against or for? Okay, comment, question. Thank you, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you again, Deputy Mayor. To Peter Best, thank you, General Manager. Sir, the capital expenditure that we watch every month, obviously you don't have final figures, but from your helicopter view of your month of August, how are you able to give us some update that you're happy with the expenditure on that? Because that is something every councillor and everyone in the city, I think, watches. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? No, I'll go back. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I've got a few things happening at the moment.
Thank you. Thank you, Acting Mayor.
Anytime.
From the right-hand seat of my helicopter, which is the captain's side of the helicopter, performance of just under 8%. If you have a look at the table in financial, capital works expenditure across the business, so that's all capital works expenditure, is $500,000 below budget. from my helicopter position, that is not a bad run rate at this time of year. We're 2 months in, jobs are progressing, and that tells me with being that close to budget target at this time of year, that's a pretty good run rate indeed. That should ramp up ordinarily and will over the next few months. Roger out.
Thank you, Captain. Captain Best from now on. no further comments? No. Nope.
Thank you. Oh, did you? Happy to put the motion. Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. All in favour?
That we table this. That this report
yep.
was noted. Thank you.
Yep. Correct. Yep. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, we have got no mayoral minute. No motions to repeal. And we move on to Councillor Bishop's motion.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillors, I did suggest before this meeting that I may allow this item to lie on the table, but because we've got a month before the next meeting, I will proceed. I wanted to give some more information and background that I've written up. I've shared that with you, but it really does not alter in any way the intent of this motion that I'll put now, that Council resolves that the Chief Executive Officer be requested to prepare a report on the future of the area surrounding the Birkdale School of Arts Hall in relation to the Birkdale Community Hub, as identified in the Redland Social Infrastructure Strategy 2009, Building Strong Communities. I'd like to put that motion, if I may.
Is there a seconder? Councillor Hughes. Councillor Bishop, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes. In 2009, Redland City Council adopted the Redland Social Infrastructure Strategy and identified as LP, Local Project Number 3, was the Birkdale Placemaking Project, which was to engage with the community to create a sense of place by improving streetscape amenity, providing civic space and in strengthening connections between the commercial centre, open space, parklands, school, railway station and adjoining residential areas. I think it's worth noting that I haven't been aware of any move to progress that particular project, and I think the time is right to ask the community their views, and particularly to start with officers in terms of how this report strategy was originally put together. Division 10 is divided into four sections, really, by Birkdale Road, which is quite a busy thoroughfare, and Quarry Road, and there's a quite four separate sections really to the division, and this place represents a very central heart, really. It's worth also noting that 102 years ago now, in 1915, this hall was built by the community, for the community, and established with a very clear statement that the area was for the education, moral and cultural benefit of the area that at that time only had 70 residents, 70 houses. We've now got over 7,000 houses in the area, which is like a 1,000 times more people in the area. But we haven't really increased the available civic space for meeting. The current uses of the hall are very actively the Mates Theatre Genesis, who use the hall very regularly for performances. There's some black crane kung fu that use the hall and various other hirers. But effectively, those hires in the evening mean that the hall's not really available. So a lot of people haven't ever really thought, how could it be used? And many of the identified points that I've sent in an email that are really just points out of the social infrastructure strategy identify things like the future shifts that are appropriate, that are happening as at 2009, and I think we've seen those advance a little further. So more emphasis on prevention and early intervention into social issues, emphasis on supporting service systems, creation of hubs, a shift to place management and joined up government. There are many other points. They're all really clearly identified and laid out in this document, and I'd just like the officers to go away and consider that document, also the most updated recent census data, and also look at the community groups in the area as identified, and ask what are the potential uses for that space. Any questions I'm happy to take on. Thanks. And I have talked to officers about this, and their recommendation is that we should put this for officers to come back and do that.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Bishop. Is there a speaker against? Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Chair. I don't think there's a division in the city that's got more halls in it than Division 10. You got one on Maroondoo Road, Birkdale Road, Scout Hall and Mary Street. I don't understand why this would be singled out, one hall, and not the other halls throughout the city. I won't be supporting just singling out one hall.
Is there a speaker for? Comments and questions? Yep. Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte all had hands up for that.
I'll speak for it. Can I speak for it? Yeah.
I'll go back to formal for you and speak for it.
That's fine. First of all, I'd like to say I'm a bit disappointed that we've seen we're going back to our old notice of motion without council knowing about notice of motion. And I thought we had a bit of a rule behind the scenes that we discuss it, and if it needs to be a notice of motion, I don't have a problem. But if we're going to go back to this, we're going to run council by notice of motion. I don't want a part of that. I want it to be discussed in a workshop, and it will be quiet and confidential and all that for whatever. But certainly, I want to know before these things bob up on the radar, what's going on. You know, and I support these. There's been further on the second one, but you know, I'm very disappointed. This is how it's going to run. Honestly, I'm happy to support this particular one, but I also say it speaks a bit volumes for this council. We've got a strategy, what's it called?
The
2009 session. Well, if that action hasn't been done, you know, these are the things we need to review and come up in an orderly fashion, not one off. And I agree with Councillor Gleeson, you know, you got others there, but it was a specific one in that. What else in that report hasn't been done? You know, and we're off busy telling the education and the health sector what to do. We can't even look after our own backyard. So certainly, I'm happy to support this. To his credit, Councillor Bishop has raised this informally before, but I never saw the notice of motion coming. So I'm happy to support it on this action, but I think we need to be timely in what we do in our own strategies. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now go back to comments. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Similar vein, I intend to support this. However, I would have liked the opportunity to discuss it a bit further. I'd like to know things such as what sort of workload this is going to impose on officers. Would that workload mean that other work is being shifted? What's the cost? Look, our halls cost us a lot of money, and there's a lot of community use for them. I'd like to see that if this goes ahead, I'd like to see a template formed out of it that we can actually overlay into other areas of the city. And I think there could have been a more fuller discussion to identify, this goes back to 2009. Since then, are there other places in the city we should do it and do a coordinated approach? So, I would have liked to have discussion on it first. In this case, I will support it, but I do have some concerns around it.
Councillor Tolte had a comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm in a similar vein, and earlier today I did hear Councillor Bishop mention that he may be interested in leaving this lay on the table. I don't want to not support it because I think that what's being raised has value, but I don't understand completely from what's been put forward in this exactly what's being asked. Councillor Bishop talking to it, to my mind, seem to be talking about something that could just be arranged with discussion with the hall managers. It didn't seem to be something that required this. A 2009 report, I don't
I think is too old. I have no interest in a 2009 report. And so whilst I don't want to not support it, I'd be happy to support it laying on the table so we can get more information about it and possibly support it at a later date.
Just before, are there any more comments or Councillor Mitchell?
Yeah, I support a lot of the information that's come through. I mean, the intent of this motion is wonderful. I mean, it's we're all for trying to raise the calibre of our social services and facilities around the place, and every council and every division would want that. So my concerns are only around the. Exactly right. I'd love to be discussing these things in workshops before, so we really can get a lot of information, and no reason to doubt it. The report is a little elderly now, and so why hasn't it progressed? So mine is, what is the strategic priority then around this? Because I'm sure there's other needs around the city, and costs and those things has been alluded to by other councillors. So again, not supported, but I'd like a little bit more information and fuller information before we make decisions on these matters.
Any other comment or question? Councillor Golly.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. I think it highlights that we need to actually start looking at some of these strategies that have been sitting on the shelf for a while and start upgrading them. There's, in the last 12 months, there's been a couple that have come to my attention that are a little bit ancient and need to be upgraded. They've even got pictures of older councillors on it that have long gone, and so it shows that we're not sort of keeping track of what's new and relevant to today's society. Thank you.
I was just going to talk to that point. That work is actually being done at the moment. All the strategies are coming together, and if you go upstairs to the PMO office, there's a flow chart as to how everything flows into each other and what we have and what we haven't done. So that's a massive amount of work, as you can imagine, but it is underway, which is a very constructive way forward. I was one of the older councillors here in 2009, and what happened is that the community development group at that stage did an immense amount of work going across the city and identifying where we had shortfalls in community facilities such as our halls. And then I've forgotten what the name of the government, help me out someone, where they gave the money to the halls and all these new halls popped up everywhere, the federal government gave the school halls. And what council decided to do at that time was, rather than sort of go ahead, wait to see what those new halls were going to give to our community. And unfortunately, in some areas, they have been so absorbed by, like, the karate groups and the dance groups and the basketball, that what our halls get used for, they can't facilitate that as well. Then that's what council at the time, because I had money in the budget for my Wellington Point Hall, which was taken out. And it was because a new hall had gone at Wellington Point Primary School. And we were waiting to see if that school. And unfortunately, in some of the cases, yeah, I haven't forgotten that. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. In some of those areas, these halls just haven't been able to pick up that use our community does need in a hall. And I think that's what Councillor Bishop has also found in this particular area. So that's the reason why there was a bit of delay on this one. We were waiting to see how those new halls were going to pick up any use that was required, and in some cases it hasn't. So back to you, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you very much, Chair. And absolutely, councillors, in terms of opportunities for discussion, yes, this is something that I've raised in our informal discussions over coffee as Mayor Councillor. Discussions take place. It's something I have raised in that forum and well in advance of the cut-off time for the notices of motion to be raised. This has been available, and I've been certainly available for discussion and attending all the meetings that we've had to raise it. Any questions, I fully take on board, and the points that have been raised, I think, are very important ones in terms of Councillor Gleeson's focus on Birkdale. I think this report actually identifies some very strong themes from 2009, and many of them are still very current, and I think it's worth our while refreshing ourselves to this document and thinking about the stuff that we're hearing. Even in the two previous strategy and action plans, there are strong themes there that are consistent. This does give us an opportunity to look at where we're at as a point of time. Years on, yes, there are now other halls, but this constraint in the ability to use those during school hours, for example, this didn't just bob up on the radar. I have been open and discussing it. I'm going through the proper process of ensuring that it's in line with council policy. I'm just asking for the census data to be brought in. In terms of Councillor Edwards's request that this could be considered as a potential template, I think that's exactly what we need to really look at. You know, how can something like this? We've since this was done, we've actually decided as a council to retain our halls. But for what purpose? And I think that's really part of what I'm asking in this. And it's slightly more fleshed out in the further information that I've sent in the email to executives and to yourselves, and I appreciate that that's late. But it really doesn't change the notion here. And the idea is to look back at this particular project, ask, is there any relevance to the local Birkdale area? If not, there may be other things across the city that are relevant, where other halls might be able to be used, or the community may see some other reasons to plug in. I think it's important, as Councillor Mitchell said, what is the strategic intent with this? I think it's important for us to ask, what is that? What role do halls play? So really it's just to ask the officers to have a look at some of the existing networks that are in the area. And there's one point that I wanted to make. It was just, here it is, defined in social infrastructure refers to the community facilities, services and networks which help individuals, families and groups and communities meet their social needs, maximise their potential for development and enhance community well-being. Services and networks are also included, recognising their critical role in developing and supporting strong, well-resourced, connected communities. If we can use this as a template that can be used in other parts of the city, I hope that you're all in support of that, because that's really all I'm intending to do, and invite the community to be part of that journey as we go forward. Thank you. I'll just put the motion now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The motion's been put. All in favour? Those against? Okay, division. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari, those against, Councillor Gleeson.
Thank you.
And we'll now move on to a notice of motion by Councillor Tolte. If you'd like to move your motion, please, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's a revised wording that's been sent to put up. It's been sent to all councillors.
Is there a T's missing?
Yes. Sorry, what's missing?
This information rather than his information.
Oh, sorry, is there a typo in it? That this
in line with the
third line,
that this information,
yeah, that this information should include. So, councillors, I move this motion. I have this motion's been written by officers in consultation in regard to the concerns that have been raised. I'll move it and then I'll speak to it, please.
Is there a seconder for the motion, Councillor Edwards?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So all this is asking for is that we have an information sheet prepared for residents so that they can understand the different aspects of preparing for fire management. I have discussed with Deputy Mayor Boglari, who also sits on the Disaster Management Coordination Committee, and officers from Disaster Management and Council. This has been written by the officers and is supported by the officers. I believe the officers are in the room.
And there's been some very good work done. I'd like to acknowledge that officers have already started to move towards the work that would be required for this and other responses to the fire preparedness in relation to the review plan that came out and the recommendations. And so there's been some good work. I understand that the Disaster Management Committee met last Tuesday, and this has already been discussed as one of the actions that will move forward. So this just puts some flesh around that, and I'm asking councillors to support it, please.
Sorry, I was still informal. Was there someone to speak against it? Against Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. In speaking against, I'm basically asking a question. When this motion was flagged, I was shocked that we didn't have something for this. So I know that everywhere we go, we see these disaster management plans or the paperwork. I know that we're very heavily involved in disaster management and understanding the wording of the original motion. So I followed up with our officers, and I was given advice that this was a commercial activity and this was something that would be covered under professional organisations. And I was forwarded to the SEQ Fire and Biodiversity, where they have already have a brochure. Now, if Councillor Tolte has just said that officers have worked with this, if my information hasn't been correct, I'd like officers to correct that. I understand that these fact sheet here are from a range of different organisations, and they're focusing on fire management, which I think is what Councillor Tolte is speaking to, a fact sheet similar to this that may already exist.
Yep.
So I seek officers' confirmation of that. Thank you. And further to
just
that...
Just on that point, Councillor Hughes, before you go away, the officers from our local disaster management group have just left, but as being the chair and having been in the meeting... No, it's all right, they'll come back. I was in the meeting last week and I've discussed this with Councillor Tolte. She was seeking that a report come to council to make sure that a actual brochure does go out to the mainland to deal with fire management. At the last meeting, we had QFES and all the other services there, and we were going through our actions, which came out of the Russell Island fires and our recent report, which is also covering, you know, the entire city. And one of the actions is that these fact sheets will be going out. We are, they are commencing a street chats. At those street chats, there will be educational information on fire management, and including for the mainland, not just the islands. And going forward, there also will be a fact sheet done. Councillor Tolte is just seeking a bit of reassurance that this will be happening. It is in the pros. It hasn't happened yet. It is actually being done now. Because the fact sheets, I've got them too. They're not exactly just saying step one, step two, step three. That's what Councillor Tolte was asking for. Our officers from local disaster management are working with Indigiscapes and the other areas to actually get that fact sheet happening.
Okay, that was...
That's why Councillor Tolte has changed her motion from actually asking a report to be done to get it happening, because it is happening, just for reassurance.
Thank you for that clarification,
Thank you. Councillor Elliott, comment?
Well, begs the question, why do we have to every time, with the actions obviously being underway, and I don't have a problem, but, you know, for everything that comes out and we're doing it, we're going to have a notice of motion to say, you just want to make sure you are? And I thought, well, you're talking to the QRF, so what's the point of the motion? If it's already underway, I can't see the point. And the fact sheet, and as I said, this may be discussed with council. It's been alluded to, there are the sheets. So, as a matter of fact, question I really want to ask is, I noticed that we're pushing about the Simbi, but we've mentioned nothing about Sheldon or Mount Cotton in any of our council stuff.
Yep, just before we continue, the local disaster management officer has stepped back in. Mike, if you'd like to come down, just to answer the questions. Yep. No. Come and sit down here. Thank you. Next to the CFO. So the questions so far have been going forward, the actions for like fire management, just reassurance that it is including the mainland, not just Simbi. The fact sheet that we talked about at the last meeting, that about the street chats that are happening and the educational material that will be there, but also we discussed a letter with information that would be sent out to the high priority areas. And Councillor Elliott just asked, was this motion needed if the actions are already in place?
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, the actions are actually commenced. I actually don't dispute the motion. I think it's a good way of just giving us a little bit of a heads up of the thinking in council. I am able to tell you in terms of the broader review, this morning we've demonstrated that now 41 of the 56 recommendations have tactically commenced, and that's up from 27 when we originally spoke in this chamber. So we are seeing a very dramatic increase in the capacity. There are a number of motions there that are not necessarily within the immediate remit of council, as you may recall, telephone towers, etc. On Monday the 12th, we will be having a multi-agency meeting that the CEO will be joining us at on Russell Island to run through some of those broader issues of improved telecommunications, etc., so trying to engage those agencies in. I think the theme of this notice of motion, whilst I do say the work has commenced, is a good theme. It's a theme that does indicate that this council is continually looking at the process. Particularly, it shouldn't be lost on us that at the present time there are over a dozen fires burning in Queensland, with a fire season that has started nearly 5 weeks ahead of any time in the last 15 years. So we're coming into a volatile fire season, and I think it's a good... I certainly take confidence from the fact that this is continually in the thoughts of the councillors in terms of the way forward. The planning of a fact sheet, I think, is something that we have, whilst not specifically included in the review, it does talk about community involvement, community education, and engaging the community in discussions. Redfest this weekend, we will be giving out versions of fact sheets. They do exist at the present time. We simply, I think this brings it to the fore, that we as an organisation will start working more closely across the ambit of making people aware of what the responsibilities are. An example that was used to me yesterday in a discussion, again talking directly about this notice of motion that was coming up, was that despite the fact that our Indigiscape areas does have regular workshops about fire control and how to control your land, they are not well attended. And unfortunately, what was put to me is if people are buying large acreages or they're buying property that do require some work, there are going to be expenses involved. It's probably the difference between buying a small sedan and a large luxury car. There are other expenses that are involved. And somehow that has to be brought to the fore, that these expenses are involved and people have to make the efforts. It's unfortunate to see that there has been quite a small number of applications by residents in Redlands over the last 3 years for fire mitigation works on their properties. So I really do think that I support the notion of the motion. The mechanics of the motion is a matter for yourself, ma'am, and for the chamber to decide. But certainly we will include the premise of having fact sheets for people about fire management included. And I will say this, though, however, we've probably got to a stage where it's too late this year. Backburns will already start to be cancelled. You will see that Queensland Fire have cancelled many of the permits to the western parts of Queensland at the present time, but including these for delivery early next year into that period to get people better prepared for next year would be a very strong idea.
Thank you. Councillor Hughes and Councillor Elliott, did that answer your questions?
It still doesn't say to me that the point, and it's already done. You know, I just... Well, I appreciate that, Julie, but I'm saying it's moved on, and I'm just saying it's being done, you know. So can I move a notice of motion next time and say, is the budget continuing as I agreed? You know, like, it's been done. Time's moved on since then, and that's the reality. Some things don't need it. And I'm told it's all happening and from authority people. Thank you.
Councillor Hughes, to address your questions before I move on to the others.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Mike. for that explanation, and it did help me. I just want to go back. I'm not sure if you were in the room. When I first started to inquire regarding this motion, I was advised that this was a commercial activity with professional organisations. That advice came from within council, and hence I was pointed to these existing fact sheets. So will council supplement that and work with these professional organisations, or are we standing alone on that? Are we going to give conflicting advice? Are we working together?
I think the short answer is working together. The one thing that the fire review recommendations made very clear to us, looking at them holistically, not simply breaking their recommendations down, is that council needs to be partnering with like-minded organisations in having a collaborative approach to the way we do things. We do have a partnership here with Biodiversity Queensland, but we also have a very active partnership with QFIS, and in the last week we've brokered outcomes with them so that they will be directly reviewing with our staff our fire trails, our fire trail maintenance, etc. At Redfest on the weekend, we will be working very closely with them and advising people about fire maintenance. So we would be asking QFIS to be very much a part of this process, not as a commercial agency, but as a community-based partnership. But yes, there is commerciality involved in it in some regards. We would be making it, we would be doing brochures like this under a number of different banners, because the Queensland Fire banner holds some authority with the community, and if we're going to dual brand that, I think that would give us some great credibility in that space.
I had Councillor Golly, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Bishop.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Can I just confirm with Councillor Hughes that fact sheet that you've got, where has that come from? Sorry, is that a council fact sheet? Or?
No. This is SEQ Fire and Biodiversity Consortium, and as Mike just alluded to, we have a good relationship, obviously, with Biodiversity Queensland. Okay. So this is where council staff had sent me to. That's why I was asking the question, the clarification.
Conversations that I've had with residents, and I'm very aware that that's what we're there to represent, is those concerned residents. I feel that, first of all, I'm going to support this motion, and this is my reasons why. So first of all, the large document that goes out, the booklet that's been designed, I wouldn't expect that any resident would pick it up and read it, because there's two volumes, there's that one and the second one that's been made.
There's five. Yep. There are five chapters, but chapter one is our legislative requirement. The rest are community
documents. And I wouldn't expect that at a cost to council we would be distributing those out to targeted residents who need to know the exact information required to keep their properties safe and fireproof to the best of their ability. I think that one of the comments that was raised by the residents was that I'm on the islands, and at the IGA, there's no brochures left, and we haven't seen any brochures on fire mitigation or fire safety for some time now. I think we do need to either partner up where we're printing off this particular fact sheet, attaching it to one of our letters and sending it to our targeted audiences, being those acreage properties, whether they be island properties or mainland properties, so we can actually start ensuring that our residents are aware of the consequences that these flash fires and the fires of today are not our granddad's fires. The intensity and the heat, the explosiveness, the volatility of these fires, it's been reported from much higher academics than sit around this table, absolutely blowing the world apart as far as the ferocity and how they come into these properties so quick and do such damage. So I think the more information we can give and the more education we give from a simple motion and passing this and just getting it done, whether we're too late or not, I think it's a good step in the right direction. Thank you.
I'll just ask the officer if he wouldn't mind responding, because my understanding is the letter with a fact sheet is what was actioned to be done at the last meeting, and also the veracity of the fires.
We're not aware of any of that because none of that information has come to us, so we're sort of going off
because it hasn't been minuted yet.
Yeah.
As yet.
Thank you, ma'am. The as you will recall, when the fire review was presented to the council, the CEO was asked to report back to council within 3 months, and we do have a report underway to be reported back. Forgive me for forgetting the date, but it's late October, with a workshop organised for the councillors in early October to take you through all those findings. The important thing, and whilst it's difficult to keep you updated, it's a changing feast because we are moving forward and there are junctions between the various recommendations that mean that it's difficult to give you information on one without running through an awful lot. And, of course, we're trying to get some sequence so that we can give you a complete overview of where we're heading. I can tell you with great confidence it is heading in the right direction. We are about to start work on fire load ratings with our local laws and our local laws people here, and our environmental section training will be undertaken by QFIS in identifying issues and problems. We're also working through a number of areas, particularly up and around the hospital area, where Queensland Fire and a number of different groups are exploring the fuel loads there and are going to demonstrate to us that the concerns being raised are a little bit unfounded, that the threat is not as big as people are thinking they are. And so we've actually trying to engage a day where we're going to engage with you councillors, possibly at the workshop, to take you out and give you some fuel load information from QFIS to talk about what is a canopy, what is this, what is the fuel load on the ground. But also, ma'am, you mentioned about the ferocity of fires. You will recall when the report was delivered to council by the Queensland Fire Officers, they indicated that the fires on Russell Island had occurred last year with a fire danger index rating of around about 8, and that they asked us to start looking at our mitigation techniques against a fire danger index rating of around 20. So in other words, what they're saying is be better prepared for the more devastating events than the more controllable events. And that's at the heart of the review we're doing at the present time and addressing those recommendations.
Thank you. Councillor Gleeson was next, then Edwards and Bishop.
Thanks, Chair. Look, I was just going to say we've got so many fact sheets around this joint. This should just be an anonymous vote and a tick and flick, really. I think I saw a fact sheet on how to blow my nose.
Unanimous,
would you believe? Yes. Could have been anonymous. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards.
Look, Councillor Elliott was right in the fact that we don't need notice of motion to have fact sheets. They come as a matter of course. But I view this as something as an extension of what we've been going through looking at fire. I think it brings it to the community's focus that we just haven't hit a point and gone on and forgot about everybody else. We've had the warmest winter in I don't know how long, and as Mike's just let us know that some of the backburning permits have been rescinded, so that we're going to have more fuel load on the ground coming in the summer. So I think this is brings it to the community's eye that this is important. I know it's going to happen, but maybe that people will take more notice of these fact sheets when they come out and act on them. So, yes, normally we wouldn't have to have something like this come through for a fact sheet. They're just done as a matter of course, but at least this is bringing it to the community's eye.
Thank you. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Chair. I understand why this has been brought forward. I have personally lost two mentors who were immortalised in the Black Saturday bushfires in Victoria. And I know, as someone who convened hundreds of people mourning their loss and the devastation of that entire community, the danger and the impact of response to an inferno that is of unprecedented proportions. I can understand Councillor Tolte wanting to address that with great resolve and determination. One of the challenges, even the learning that has come up this morning is important. Hearing that we have passed the threshold of a time for ill-equipped or untrained people to do burning management processes, I believe could potentially create more challenges and
encourage people with the preparation of a new fact sheet, which is about fire management plans, to strike a match to get their properties ready. And what I would like to see is that there may be in this, as we're gathering more information, the executive, in collaboration with all of the other appropriate agencies, are pulling together a consensus view about how our entire city and all the support agencies manage this. It's about a cultural approach that really needs to be very clearly understood from every level, in order to make sure that someone doesn't just go, I've got a management plan and I'm going to go out and do it now. I think we really need to get clarity about where we're going, so that we can actually take the time to get that right. I would support a fire preparedness plan being given as a fact sheet right now, before this hotter than ever summer. We shouldn't say that we haven't been told it's coming, and there's going to be a lot more coming, so it's important that we do get ready for that. But in this instance, at this time of this year, based on this as yet not completely discussed report, while we've got other work going on, I encourage us to not proceed with that, but actually get people ready for how they're going to get themselves safely in a situation where there is no fire in the first place, and then how to get out and protect their property and themselves. That is number one priority to me, and I would support that. But at this stage, I'm reluctant to see this until we get the full body of that consolidated review done, and then proceed. So that's where I sit. Thank you.
Could I just ask the officer, it is my belief that at the moment the fire preparedness, all the fact sheets are going to be at the street chats that are coming up. That information about what to do, you're cleaning up your properties and everything that is happening. The fact sheet that is now being prepared, it's not going to be ready for this season. It's like you said before, it'll be getting ready for the next season anyway, wouldn't it? I think that was Councillor Bishop's concern, that we're putting out about burn-offs now. I think that was it. But
no, that won't happen now, and I absolutely agree with that fact. The discussions we'll have at Redfest, the street speaks that we've had, and the continued street speaks are not a new process. It's a continuation of an ongoing process that's been in place for some months. We will be talking to people about what preparation they can do. This is the clean out the gutters. This is all those things that should be happening prior to a fire season. But I do agree with that point. I personally believe we should be releasing the fact sheets next year, and those fact sheets should be talking about biodiversity, all those things. We need to do this review report as a holistic review, not a disjointed review. It needs to go out to talk about all the aspects that we've come with, because together they build a very, very strong picture of collaboration, both with community and council, and responsibility, both to community and council. So some time taken to do those properly, to get the right agencies involved will do them properly, but that does not mean that the fire safe message has not already commenced across the city, not just on the Southern Moreton Bay Islands.
Does that answer you? Yep. Any other comment?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, no one else is on my list. That's back to Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The purpose of this motion is to ask officers to independently assess and lay out the information in an easy-to-understand format which provides information for landowners on how they go about preparing their fire management plans, bringing together independently assessed contacts, advice, information, all of those things, like the fact that you don't burn off in spring when summer's coming, you wait until the early winter and you get advice from a fire authority on the wind rating and all of the other information that you have to do. And Councillor Hughes has mentioned commercially available fact sheets. Well, those are written from the perspective of someone who has a service to sell, and that may well be a good service for our community to take advantage of, but I would like, as the representatives of our residents, for us to look at all of the available help and information and lay it out in a fact sheet for people who need to prepare these fire management plans. This was not something that was understood to be happening when I had to give notice of this motion over 2 weeks ago, and it has possibly come about because of the notice of motion. I don't know. I'm not on the Disaster Management Committee. But there is no reason in the world why we wouldn't move to add a
a information sheet that lays that information out in an unbiased fashion and provides all of it in a one-stop shop for people so that they can go and do what they need to do to carry out their fire preparedness. So I'm asking you, please, to allow the officers to add this to the work that they're already doing, and I'm sure they will do it in a very sensible and timely fashion, as is appropriate to their responses to the report.
Thank you. We'll put the motion. All in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Oh, division, sorry. Those in favour? Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott. Thank you. Sorry. Number 15, urgent business without notice. Councillor Edwards?
Yes, I've got urgent business without notice, but we'll need to go into confidential to discuss it.
Do we just need to know the reason why we go into confidential before we do? Can Councillor Edwards just explain just the reason why? Is it for commerciality? Commerciality to do with contracts?
Yes.
Councillor Edwards has put a motion that we go into... a question, Councillor Elliott?
No, I'll just second.
Oh, second it. Thank you. Well, we're dealing with this one at the moment. Thanks, Councillor Gleeson. All in favour of going into confidentiality to do this one? Those in favour? Those against? Okay, division. Those in favour were Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari. Those against was Councillor Golay. So we'll now go into confidentiality. If I thank the gallery for attending, a minute to switch everything back on. And thank you, Alan. Thank you. Okay, we're on. Thank you. Councillor Gleeson, are you going to resume your seat? We're on now. The cameras are on. Okay, so now I will go back to Councillor Edwards to move his motion.
Yes, I move the motion as recorded on the screen there.
Urgency first again. Yes, thank you.
I move that the motion is a matter of urgency.
Because of...
Contract time frames.
Okay. So we're seconded by Councillor Elliott. We're now voting on the urgency of the motion. Not the motion, but the urgency. Those in favour of the urgency of the motion, all in favour? Yep, okay. Division. Those in favour of the urgency of the motion are Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, I think your hand was up, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari, and those against were Councillor Bishop. I'll now go back to Councillor Edwards and ask him to put the actual motion.
Yes, I move the council resolves as follows. One, to purchase the subject land for the purchase price in the confidential attachment. Two, to delegate authority to the Chief Executive Officer under Section 2571B of the Local Government Act 2009 to negotiate, make, vary and discharge and to sign all documents in relation to this matter. And three, that the attachment remains confidential until the acquisition of the subject land has been finalised.
Thank you. Can I ask for a seconder of that motion, please? Councillor Tolte. And you'll put the motion. And all in favour? Those against? Division? Thank you, Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour are Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari. Those against are Councillor Bishop. Thank you. And now, any other notices of motion without urgent business? Thank you, Councillor Hewlett.
Deputy Mayor. I've sent this motion out to everybody who should have received it this morning. Do you want me to read it out? Or
you've just got to talk to why it is urgent.
Question one, to achieve an outcome, does this matter have to be dealt with at a general meeting of council? Yes. It was last time.
No. Chair, I move that we move into confidential to discuss the urgency of this matter. This motion shouldn't be made public until the urgency is decided.
Okay, we've got one motion on the table at the moment, the matter of urgency. Okay, Councillor Tolte has now asked to, a motion to move into confidentiality.
A reason to go into confidential?
Well, there are significant budget implications, as well as the agreements that are in place with a particular group and council that are relative to this decision. I think that those are commercial in confidence, in so much as we should be able to discuss whether this is urgent in confidential, so that councillors can look at the motion and be aware of what they're voting on when they vote, whether it's urgent or not. So there was advice that came through on Councillor Edwards' information this morning that quite succinctly suggested that any discussion about urgency should be done in confidential, because that way the motion can be displayed for councillors to consider whether it is urgent or not, and then the motion doesn't go up into the public forum until the urgency is decided, and I thought that was quite good advice.
My question is, when there is already a open motion to discuss the urgency of it, can another motion be voted on at that time?
It's really up to the meeting to decide to go into confidential or not. So once you have met the benchmark of going into confidential for particular reasons, so that's been articulated, then you need a majority to agree to that.
And then do
that vote now while another motion... Yes, I believe you could. Yes.
Or it's up to council just to take the vote. Councillor Hewlett, are you happy to withdraw your motion until we do? On the grounds of budgetary changes?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so that's...
Just as a point of information, when Councillor Talty presented her fire levy confidential, that was done in open, where everyone knew the budgetary.
And you held me down.
Councillors, can I...
Item as well.
Hang on. Councillors, can I... Councillor Gleeson, can I please remind everybody that we are in public forum? We're not in confidentiality. So can we please, I'm just seeking what is the protocol here when someone puts up a motion, when another motion is there, which motion takes precedent? Does the meeting vote on the confidentiality one now?
Well, I think you need to vote on the confidentiality one, because what's happened is you have had a motion there to discuss, but further information's come to light. Because you're not going to make any of these decisions until you have the confidential discussion. Then you'll come back out and make the decision. So if you go into confidential, discuss whatever it is you need to discuss in confidence. You'll come back out. You'll have to make those decisions again. And you really need to have the confidential discussion to make the decision on urgent business, is my understanding. So that's what you're doing.
Okay. So Councillor Tolte has put up a motion to go into confidentiality to discuss this one. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte will put that motion. Yep, all in favour of going to confidentiality. Those are Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Golay, Councillor Mitchell. Those against are Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Boglari. So we're now going into confidentiality. So we'll give you another... Sorry, Andrew, you didn't get to speak. Would you like to? We on? We're on. Back to Councillor Hewlett. You just have to put a motion now for urgency, I believe. Sorry? You just got to say you have a motion of urgency and you'd like to put it to the...
Thank you, Councillor Deputy Mayor. I have a motion of urgent business that I would like to put forward for the Council's consideration.
Is there a seconder for his motion, Councillor Golay?
Know what it's about?
No.
I'll read out the motion for you.
I do.
Madam Chair, I vote.
Excuse me.
Sorry?
I move to bring the motion.
No.
Yeah, I can. I did.
I thought we were allowed
it,
to.
It won't. You can apparently read the motion out, but it won't be minuted because it is depending on the vote.
Madam Chair, I put the motion.
Okay, Councillor Tolt, he has put the motion, but we haven't. But you can't because we don't know the motion. And he has. But he has to put the motion fully before we can then.
No, I'm sorry. I want to take advice on that. I don't believe that's correct.
Okay, Councillor Tolt, he has asked for advice on that, which is what I'm getting and saying, but... It's on the screen, and you've just got to put put the motion for urgency on the motion. And it was seconded by Councillor Golly. No, it's on the board.
Chair, I have a put motion.
Yes, but this is the advice I was given, Councillor Tolte. So we're now, okay, now that we've, Councillor Tolte has put the motion as on the board.
The motion as to whether it
for
is
the urgency,
urgent business
for the
or
urgency
not.
Of the motion on the board. And so we have to now take the vote. Those in favour of the urgency of the motion. No, because the motion's been put, there's no debating. So we're only voting on the urgency of the motion. Just the urgency. Those in favour of the urgency? Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay. Those against? Division. Those in favour of the urgency were Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay. Those against? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Boglari. And I think that's the end of that one.
Closed.